Let us hear the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Now there were many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Thus the reading of God's word. As I begin this morning, I want you to think about your relationship with God. And I want you to think a moment specifically about the times that you're communicating to God. Well, of course, that's going to be during prayer. And if you're like most Christians, when you're praying to God, most of the time you're praying for God to do things. Most of the time, you're probably praying that God would somehow make your life better or work out situations that you face so that things would go better than perhaps they look. And also, you're praying for the people around you, that their lives would also go better, that their lives also, whether they're sick, whether they're having financial difficulty, whatever it is, you're praying that God would be with them and help them and work these things out. Most people, when they pray, those are the things that they focus on. There is more time spent asking God to make things better than the time is spent thanking God and praising him. Yet, do you ever find yourself, when you're praying, or because of those kinds of things that you're asking God for, do you ever find yourself becoming discouraged? I've asked God so often for these things. I've asked God so often to change this and that in my life, and it doesn't ever change. I pray and pray, and nothing seems to happen. Do you know people who are discouraged just like that? I know people like that. Let me just share you a few examples of things I've heard in the last couple weeks. We prayed and prayed for a better country. Yet drug use is up. Education is in shambles all over the country. There is no change on the issue of abortion. And we prayed and prayed for this election, and the election turned out the same. Why doesn't God change things? We prayed and prayed, and it ended up the same. We pray for sick people. Someone has come to me. I've had someone I've been praying for. They've been sick. They're in a bad condition. Yet it continues to get worse and worse. And I pray and pray that God will make the person better, yet they continue to get worse. We pray for financial situations in our families. Perhaps we're running tight financially, or we know others who are. We pray and pray for them, but the situation doesn't get better. I've heard these things in the last couple of weeks. But then there's also the Christian who prays for struggles he has with sin. I'm battling this sin and these sins, and I've been battling them so long that finally after a while I become so discouraged that God is ever going to help me with these sins. I continue to fight them, I do better, and then I fall back into it again. I get discouraged. And sometimes when we pray or when we get discouraged about that and we're continuously asking God to make things better, sometimes we become discouraged. Sometimes we begin to doubt whether God is really working in our life. There are many, many people out there like that. And I don't know this morning. Maybe that's you. And so to people like that, we say, well, you need to trust in God's sovereignty more. God knows what is best for you. God is in charge of this world. And so even though things may not go as you want them to, we can trust that God knows what is best, and he's doing it for a reason. Well, of course, we believe that. We counsel others that way. But have you ever had anybody say who you've counseled that way, yet it doesn't ever seem like God is helping me. My situation doesn't change. I believe in God's sovereignty. I believe he knows what is best, but I pray and pray and there's no change. I pray and pray and it's always the same. Will God ever help me? Have you ever felt like that? I have. Many, many occasions. Why doesn't God change things? Why doesn't God make things better? And quickly, as you look at your life and you focus on your prayer life, you begin to think that things aren't getting better. Is God really working in my life? Well, the author of Hebrews is dealing with people who are asking those specific questions. And the author of Hebrews has an answer for people who feel like that and who have a misunderstanding of what God is doing in their life and why things don't change. The answer that the author of Hebrews gives in chapter 7 is that Jesus is our high priest. How does that help us? Well, for the people who received the book of Hebrews, things were about as bad as they could get. Their property had been taken away. They were under much persecution by their government and by the people around them who were threatening to take away everything they had, including their lives. For them, God wasn't working in their lives. I thought that if God saved me and if I became a Christian, my life would be better. I thought that things would go better in my life and God would answer prayers and so forth. And we pray and pray, yet the persecution is getting stronger and now we face losing our lives. Should we go on being Christians? Because it doesn't seem like God is working in me. These are the questions that the people are asking. And the author of Hebrews in chapter 7 says, yes, God is working in your life. And how do you know God is working in your life? Because Jesus is your high priest. God has already worked in your life through Jesus. Jesus died on that cross. Jesus made a sacrifice for your sins. And because Jesus did that, God has worked in your life. The author starts out at the end of chapter 6, and I realize that this morning some of you haven't been here for the whole entire chapter 7, so we'll just follow along closely with here, and you'll see what our author is doing today. In chapter 6, verse 19, he says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." The hope for these people, discouraged about God not working in their lives here on earth, is that God has already worked in their life, and they are already with him in heaven, and God has anchored their souls. God has anchored their souls behind the inner curtain. That is their comfort. And how is this a comfort? Because Jesus is their high priest. And that's what the author begins to explain in chapter 7. And already in the early part of chapter 7, we saw the comparison made with Jesus and Melchizedek. Now remember, these people were questioning whether Jesus could be a high priest. Jesus was not from the line of Levi. In the Old Testament, if you were going to be a high priest, you had to be a descendant of Levi. How can Jesus be our high priest? How can it comfort us that Jesus is our high priest in heaven and that our souls are anchored in heaven? How does that affect us in our lives here on this earth, especially when Jesus isn't even of the line of Levi? And besides that, if Jesus is a high priest, how come there isn't sacrifices that we can bring and see on this earth? Wouldn't it be nice if we had priests that we could go to and share our confession with, and he could comfort us and strengthen us? Jesus isn't here. Is God working in our lives? That was their question. And so the author has addressed it in chapter 7. In the first part of chapter 7, the author showed how Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. We saw in the Old Testament how Abraham was the great patriarch of the Jewish people. All the people came out of Abraham, all of God's people in the Old Testament. Yet here came this Melchizedek before Abraham, who was greater than Abraham. Melchizedek appeared, and Abraham bowed to Melchizedek. Now, what does that mean? It meant that in the Old Testament, Melchizedek was greater than Abraham. Why? Because Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob had a son named Levi. Levi was a priest. So now you see what the author has done. He said that Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Melchizedek is greater than the priests of Levi because Melchizedek came before Levi. Well, then the author goes through and he makes a statement in verses 15 and 16. Look at it with me, 7, 15, and 16. And what we have said is even more clear if another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. He has made the comparison that Jesus is like Melchizedek. Jesus is greater than Abraham. You people are challenging whether Jesus can be a high priest because he didn't come from the line of Levi. Well, Jesus is a high priest who is greater than Levi because Melchizedek was greater than Levi. Jesus is greater than Levi. And how is he a high priest? You see what it says? Not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. He is not a high priest because he came from the line of Levi. Jesus is a high priest because his life can never be destroyed. Now, how is that comforting? People are asking, well, God doesn't work in my life. And the author of Hebrews is saying, yes, he does. He's already worked in your life. Your high priest has an indestructible life. Your high priest will always be the same. Now, what are the benefits of this? Well, the author has given us two. The first benefit is described in verse 20. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without an oath, but he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever." Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. How do we know, how is this comforting that Jesus is a priest based on the power of an indestructible life? It's comforting. One benefit of this is that it can't change. God has sworn an oath that Jesus is our high priest. In the Old Testament, a high priest never was sworn by an oath. The only reason a high priest was a high priest because he was born out of the family of Levi. Now God is saying, look, Jesus is a high priest because God has sworn that he is a high priest. And because God has sworn, because God cannot change his mind, Jesus is the guarantee of a better covenant. Now wait a minute, the people are saying, God doesn't seem to be working in our lives. We pray and pray and the persecution gets greater. We face financial struggles. We face all these things and everything. It just doesn't seem that God is working in our life. And the author of Hebrews says, yes, God has worked in your life because you have a high priest, Jesus Christ, and he is a high priest forever. No one can take it away from you. Well, now we move into the second benefit. The second benefit of Jesus as your high priest, based on an indestructible life. What is that? Well, verse 23. Now there were many of those priests, since death prevented them from continuing in office. When he says that in verse 23, he's telling us, look, the Old Testament priesthood, as you can see, was imperfect. The Old Testament priesthood was not permanent. The Old Testament priesthood died away. Because look, there were many of those priests. There wasn't just one, but there were many, because every time you would have a high priest, the high priest would die. The Old Testament high priest was pointing to a greater high priest. Because look what it says in verse 24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Do you see the benefit? Because Jesus lives forever compared to the Old Testament high priest who died. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. His priesthood cannot change. Now think about that. Here you're living in the Old Testament and you have a high priest. And you're continually bringing your offering, you're sharing your sins with this high priest, and eventually your high priest dies. But now Hebrews is saying, look, you now have Jesus. And he is a permanent high priest, because he is a high priest not because he came from the line of Levi. The line of Levi had high priests who died. But you have a high priest who lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. And then he summarizes in verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. In the Old Testament, they always had to bring another animal. Here came a sin that somebody committed, and they'd have to bring an animal all the way to the altar, and the high priest would make the sacrifice, and they would know that their sins were forgiven. But now the author is saying, look, that was pointing to Jesus, because he saves completely. Now remember, the people are asking, Jesus doesn't work in our life. We're praying. We don't see changes around here. We don't see changes in our life. It doesn't seem like anything has changed. And the author has said, yes, there is changes. Jesus has saved you completely. You are completely forgiven for your sins, body and soul. You are forgiven in Christ because of what he did on the cross. He is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Why? Because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus lives on to intercede for his people. Jesus is still our high priest. We still need one who intercedes. Sometimes people say, well, if Jesus is my high priest and all my sins are forgiven, why do I still need a high priest? Well, you still need a high priest because here you live on earth and you still fall into sin. And Jesus continues as your high priest, who is there forever, who is there by oath to forgive your sins. Yes, your sins are washed away in Christ, but as you live on this earth, you still fall into sin. And so we go to our high priest. Now the question is, you remember, God isn't working in our lives. We are depressed. We are down. There doesn't seem like there's anything that changes. Well, God is working in your life. You have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who has been there permanently, who always lives to intercede for you. You have a high priest who is there permanently. Your high priest doesn't die. He is always there in heaven to hear your prayers. Well, now he goes on. And what does he say? Verse 26. Such a high priest meets our need. Now, how come Jesus doesn't work in my life? We have all these needs and all these things that we want. It doesn't seem like Jesus is working. What does it say? Such a high priest meets our need. He meets your needs. And what are those needs? One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Holy. Well, you're not holy. I think everyone here would admit that they're far from holy before God. At least I hope they would. Christ is holy. And why do we need a high priest who is holy? Because we aren't holy. Our high priest can be in heaven because he is holy. He was holy for us. Blameless, it says. We aren't blameless. We have a lot of blame that comes upon us for our sins. But our high priest was blameless. Pure. We aren't pure. Our lives are clouded with sin and dark with sin. But we have a high priest who is pure. Jesus Christ who is pure. Now do you see the three words that he picks out when he says this? Holy, blameless, and pure. This is what a high priest in the Old Testament had to be. He had to be holy and blameless and pure. And so when you're reading the book of Leviticus and other books, you'll see all these washings that the high priest had to do. Wash your hands before you go and make this sacrifice. Make sure that the garment you have on is white and pure when you go into the Holy of Holies. All these outward things that a high priest had to do to offer sacrifices to God. But what does it say about our high priest? Our high priest is holy, blameless, and pure. And what does he say? Set apart from sinners. This new high priest doesn't die. This new high priest is not only outward, holy, blameless, and pure, but he is inwardly holy, blameless, and pure. He did not sin. He is set apart from sinners. What does it say? Exalted above the heavens. Jesus is in the highest of heavens. How can you be exalted above the heavens? Jesus is in the highest part of heaven, says the author. He is holy, blameless, and pure, and he meets our needs. Because what are our needs? Well, we look around us and we like to think that our needs are here on earth. But our author is saying, God has worked in your life. God has met your needs. Because your home is not here on this earth, but your home is in heaven. And because Jesus is holy, blameless, and pure, set apart from sinners, so that is where you are. You are in heaven with him. You are enjoying all the blessings of heaven here on this earth. It goes on, verse 27. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. In the Old Testament, a high priest would make sacrifices day after day because first he was a sinner and then the people, he would make a sacrifice for them and for their sins. But Jesus doesn't have to make sacrifices like that. Why? He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Again and again in the Old Testament, they would bring animals as a substitute to sacrifice for their sins. Look, God, I don't have to die. This animal will die for me, and I will experience forgiveness. What does the author of Hebrews say? He sacrificed for their sins once for all. When he offered what? An animal? No. He offered himself. It was a man for a man. It was a man for all of God's people. He didn't offer a substitute. Our high priest offered himself. He offered Jesus Christ himself. The Son of God went to that cross and offered himself once for all. God isn't working in my life, so they say. But he has. God has worked in your life. God has saved you. Christ's sacrifice has been once for all. And because Christ's sacrifice is once for all, your sins are God. And then it says, for the law appoints as high priests men who are weak, But the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. The law, as it says, appointed as high priest weak men. But this is greater than a law. This is an oath. The Old Testament appointed high priests men who died. You have as a high priest the Son. And what does it say about that Son? He has been made perfect forever. If he is a perfect high priest, what does that mean? Yes, it means that Jesus did not sin and that he is a perfect high priest. But it also means more. It means that Jesus suffered everything that we suffer. It means that there is nothing in your life that you don't have to go through that Christ didn't go through. He is the perfect high priest because he lived what you lived, because he has made the sacrifice, because he is in heaven. And so what is the message for Hebrews? What is the message for people who are discouraged? The message is that you have a high priest. The message is that God has worked in your life. The message is that this world is not your home, but your home is in heaven. The message is that things may get tough here. The message is that things may not go for you here as you continually pray for things to get better. But the message isn't that Christ didn't work in your life. The message is that you have a perfect high priest who continues to make intercession, who suffered death on your behalf, who is your high priest forever. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the book of Hebrews. We thank you, Lord, for chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, which teaches us as Jesus as our high priest. And Lord, we thank you that we do have a high priest in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved us, who has brought us to his own, who continues to make intercession for us. And Lord, we know as we live our lives that we are sinners, and we rejoice that he has once for all saved us from those sins. And Lord, as we live, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we don't understand why you do not work these things out in our lives. But Lord, we can always rejoice to know that Jesus has worked in our life, that Jesus has given us the strength of Christ to live our lives. And we pray, Lord, that as we, as your people, live our lives, that we would always remember this, not become upset at you, not wish that things would have gone better if they'd gone this way or that way, but that we would always rejoice that we always have a permanent high priest, Jesus Christ, who has saved us and given us life. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.